Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, back with you here on Late Night on The Good Neighbor. I feel like today was one of those days for Minnesota sports fans where they went from feeling beyond optimistic, okay, to now just being down and out, right depressed. That's what it feels like. The Twins, they lose a ball game. They're not going to win every single game, right? And then you look at what transpired earlier today with the Minnesota Wild. It hasn't been a great day. The Loons, they lose tonight. They're done with the MLS's back tournament. And to talk about the Wild specifically is Dane Mizutani from the Pioneer Press. He joins us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. So hopefully your words could be some therapy tonight, Dane, for those Minnesota Wild fans that are out there tonight in their feelings just a bit.
Well, I don't know about that. After that performance today, I don't know if I have many positive things to say, but I guess let's jump in and talk about it.
Yeah, let's jump in and talk about it, man. So just to, you know, a few days ago, the Minnesota Wild and the fan base, they're riding high. They're like, you know, they grabbed that game one and everybody's feeling great. They're like, okay, this is the way that we want this West qualifying game to series to start. Well, they now lost back to back games and now they're on the brink of elimination. Today, they didn't score a goal. They get outscored 3-0. Just your overall thoughts on just their lack of ability to be able to put the puck in the net here today.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head right there. Is Sunday night, I guess early Monday morning, that those 9:45 starts, man, they're killing me. But everyone was thinking, wow, maybe this is different. Maybe this time, this playoff run, whatever you want to call it, postseason, maybe this is different because the Wild looked really, really good. They were in their structure. Alex Stalock pitched a shutout in game one. They did all the little things correct, staying out of the box. Everything that they did correct in game one, it's been complete 180 in games two and three. But Chief, the problem at its core is that they cannot put the puck in the back of the net. I mean, that's absolutely it. They have not scored a goal 5-on-5 yet. Their power play is old. It's last 13. And that's just not going to get it done. I mean, you look across the league, in this postseason tournament, people are scoring goals, and obviously that's the name of the game. And you can say what you want. Alex Stalock had a couple of tough, you know, rebounds and the pucks in the back of his net today, but you're not going to win when you don't score. And the Wild haven't been able to score. And I know game two was 4-3, but that game was 4-1. Kevin Fiala potted too late.
Yeah.
But they were meaningless. And then you take those two away, they scored one goal in the last six periods. It's just not good enough.
Yeah, and you're right, man, because I viewed it, I know that the score, because a lot of times, and we see this in sports, right, even especially in basketball, where you'll see a score, you'll be like, okay, all right, my team that I like, they only lost by 5 points, but you know that if you watched the game the majority of the way and knew that they were down 20 or 25, that the other team just kind of like, I don't say just totally mailed it in, but it wasn't the same type of effort or energy. So that 4-3 score in game number two, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me because you're right. I mean, those goals late, the game was already out of reach. But it seems like right now, Kevin Fiala's on an island by himself. Other than him putting the puck in the net, it seems like nobody else can do it.
Yeah, you got to feel for him because you watch him every single time he steps on the ice, he's not just the best player on the Wild. He's the best player on the ice, either team. And I know Vancouver has a lot of talented guys. Elias Pettersson is a superstar in the making, and Brock Besser from, you know, right down the road in Burnsville. He's had two huge goals in this series. But Fiala, he does everything for this team. And like you said, he has to do everything. And frankly, he hasn't got any help. Jared Spurgeon has two goals in the series. He's a defenseman. And Jared Spurgeon is very, very, very good. But when Kevin Fiala is your only goal from a forward in the entire series, it's just you can't do that. I mean, you got players across the board, veteran guys who have been there. Eric Staal has won a Stanley Cup, and he's not helping out. You know, Zach Parise, everyone talks about the contract. He hasn't been able to do anything. Matt Zuccarello, he signed a really lucrative 5-year, $30 million contract this past offseason, you know, like a year ago, with the goals of this guy as a playoff performer. He hasn't done anything. So, yeah, you got to feel for Kevin Fiala. He's 24 years old, and they're doing everything. Vancouver is doing everything to contain him, and he's still getting loose. He's getting chances. I think he had, like, you know, 13 or 14 shots today. You know, some of those went wide, not on net, but he's putting the puck on the net, and he's letting it go, but he's getting no help. It's just, it's hard to watch because you can tell he wants it. But this is a guy who only recently has emerged as a budding star in the league, and now he's getting all this attention on him. And I think it's probably really hard when he has to, you know, face constant double teams and, you know, people in his face at all times with no help on the other end.
Yeah, we're talking to Dane Mizutani from the Pioneer Press. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Dane Mizutani. He joins us here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. So we know that we're not able to put the other than Kevin Fiala, we're not able to put the puck in the back of the net here in this series. What do you make of, and how do you evaluate the goaltending on the Wild's behalf?
That was another hard one to say because Alex Stalock, I think he's been pretty good. I mean, he pitched a shutout in game one. I mean, he couldn't do any better than that. But there's just little things in games two and three. And maybe the games play out differently if he's not giving up these rebounds that are ending up in the back of the net. But it's hard for me to fault him because this is a guy who he's given up three goals. I guess he gave four in game two. But three goals tonight. The last one, you know, that was with the Wild rushing up the ice. And so, like we talked about how game two was 4-1 for all intents and purposes. In my eyes, Stalock gave up two goals today. I mean, they were rushing him off the ice. He was retreating back to his crease for that third goal. I mean, he's doing as much as I think he can. I mean, this is a career backup. He had a good year, but, I mean, he's not going to go pitch a 40-save shutout every single time he's on the ice. He needs offensive help. That being said, I don't know if you're going back to him. It's a back-to-back tomorrow night. Devin Dubnyk hasn't played. He's the veteran. You know, some would say he doesn't deserve to play because of just his stats this year. But I think right now, are you comfortable with your season on the line rolling with another guy who hasn't been there before in a back-to-back? And if Dean Evason decides tomorrow night that he wants to give Devin Dubnyk a chance, I don't think you can fault him for that because just the way that things have played out, you know, just a wonky schedule with everything and late start. It might be a lot for Alex Stalock to handle at this point. And I feel for him because he's been pretty good, but just not quite good enough. And he hasn't got any goal support to help him. So my gut is I think we see Dubnyk tomorrow. But if they go back to Stalock, I mean, he's earned it. I mean, he's played well enough. Just he hasn't got any help on the other end.
Dane, when you look at the makeup of this team and the chemistry and the type of personalities that they have, you know, their backs are up against the wall right now. They got to win tomorrow night, right? So knowing all of that, how do you think that they will respond and kind of come out? Because after game one, I feel like everybody that's a Wild fan and fans of the National Hockey League here in the state of Minnesota, they were in love with Dean Evason. And right now, today, after today's loss, I feel like everybody hates him. You talking about criticizing him? People were all on him today. Earlier this evening, right around 5 and 6 o'clock. It was unbelievable with some of the stuff that I saw.
Yeah, life as a coach in the NHL, and you know, Dean got his contract extension, so good for him because I don't know. Like you said, there has been a lot of criticism around him in the aftermath of games 2 and 3. I think a lot of people are a little bit upset with how he was matching his lines, and he wasn't doing everything he could to get Piala out there against their third and their fourth line. But say what you want about that. I mean, Dean can't put the puck in the back of the net, and that's something that the Wild are going to have to find within themselves. And like, you know, you were asking, just like the mental makeup of this team. Well, if you look at this year as a whole, as a collective, before the shutdown, the Wild have always been at their best when they, you know, have been backed into a corner, backs against the wall. I mean, you look at it, they started the season dreadfully. Everyone thought, you know, maybe they were going to be the worst team in the league, and they really turned things around. So well, they hit that patch to adversity, and they flipped. You know, look at it. Bruce Boudreau gets fired, and Dean Evason takes over, first intern head coach, never done this before. Well, they flip it back, facing adversity again, respawn, and go on a run. They were one of the best teams in the NHL prior to the shutdown. And then you look at the shutdown. I mean, how are they going to look coming out? Well, they looked really good in game one. So they faced these little patches of adversity throughout the year and found ways to respond. So I think they're going to show up at least tomorrow. You know, I don't think this is a 5-0 blowout while basically just say, let's go back to the Twin Cities. I think you're going to get everything they got, and I think they're going to make it really tough on Vancouver. But, man, I cannot get over games 2 and 3, 0-13 on the power play. Games 1, 2, and 3 still have not scored a goal 5-on-5. Like, these things are not going to go away no matter. They're just going to have someone needs to step up and score. And it's probably going to have to be Kevin Piala with the way you look, but it would sure be nice if some of these veterans and some of these high contract players really stepped up and took it upon themselves to make this thing a series. Because I still think it can be if they can get it tomorrow.
Dane, I love hockey. I follow it. I'm not a great hockey mind though, right? I just like I'm a fan, but I'm not one of those individuals that's gonna claim to be an expert. I know all the intricacies and the ins and outs. That's not who I am, all right? So I would never be fronting like that on the radio, right? But I'm a fan of the sport. I go back to many years ago, when the news broke, I happened to be on the air. And I ended up being on the air that day for 5 hours. Okay. I did an extended show when I was supposed to be on the air for, I want to say maybe like 2 hours. I ended up being on the radio for 5 hours when the news broke that, Parisi and Suter were going to be with the Minnesota Wild. Right. And so from that moment on, I feel like every Minnesota Wild hockey fan felt like, okay, our window is now. We got to take advantage and capitalize on this actually happening for us, because a lot of people were like, this is not going to happen, right? And it happened, right? The window is closed, right? Would you say that the window is closed? Well, I don't want to say the window is closed as in like this series is over and that they can't win tomorrow night, but I guess is the window closing for this organization to capitalize on those massive signings?
I think the window is closing on that group and that core. And I mean, you could probably say, honestly, the window has closed on that core. If the Wild are going to win a Stanley Cup, it's going to be because guys that aren't even here yet emerge. Or, you know, Kevin Fiala takes the next step to superstar, and Kirill Kaprizov comes over and lights the world on fire and is a 50-goal scorer. If the Wild win the Stanley Cup, it's going to be because of those guys leading the charge. And Parisi and Suter might still be on the team. Like, if everything breaks correctly and you get superstar talent out of Fiala and superstar talent out of Kaprizov, and in 2 or 3 years from now, the Wild are quick rebuild and they're looking at the Stanley Cup contenders, Parisi and Suter are still going to be on the team because of their contracts. But I think it's fair to say that the window is closing, if not closed, on them being the catalyst or the straw that stirs the drink and getting them to a Stanley Cup. And that's, for their sakes, that's a tough, you know, expectation or a tough barometer. That was always going to be their barometer for success. Those signings were such a big deal that it was Stanley Cup or bust as soon as they put ink on paper. And that's hard because only one team wins every year. And you look at the Wild as a franchise since Zach Parise and Ryan Suter have signed, and they been consistently in the playoffs. I say what you want about playoff runs. Like, they haven't got it done in that scenario, obviously, haven't gotten past the second round. But if you look at what the Wild were like before preseason season came to town, they were an afterthought in the NHL. And that's unacceptable for the state of hockey. If you want to consider yourself the state of hockey, you cannot be an afterthought in the professional league. So preseason Suter put the Wild at least back on the map, but they couldn't do enough. And I don't want to talk about this, you know, as a funeral, like we're writing a eulogy on the Wild season, because maybe they come out tomorrow night and they put on a show, and then, you know, Sunday game five, we're talking and they have a chance to move on into the next round. But it doesn't feel like it. It just doesn't feel like it. And it's hard because those guys, like you said, you talked for 5 hours on the radio that day. Everyone was excited for those two signings. And I don't think they've quite lived up to the expectations, whether or not those expectations were fair from the jump.
Yep, I'm with you, man. All right, Dane, I appreciate the time tonight, man. Hopefully we can get a victory tomorrow night. But I love your coverage of Minnesota Wild hockey and all that you do with the Pioneer Press. Thanks for being on the show, man.
Good to hear you, man. Anytime.
All right, take care. That's Dane Mizutani joining us here, Late Night News Talk, 830-WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.